You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, and the resources that we talk about on the broadcast available at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. But remember, in particular, equip.org. And one of the resources that's featured this month, Saving Truth by Abdu Murray, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World. You know, we don't live in a postmodern world as much as we live in a post-truth world. And Abdu Murray does a tremendous job of cashing that out in Saving Truth. Again, the book available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. I just did a podcast with Abdu Murray. It is going to be up on the web at equip.org. In fact, I think it is right now. But in that podcast, Abdu Murray talks about how he was a Muslim calling into the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and how the Bible Answer Man broadcast was a very significant tool in bringing him out of Islam into the Christian faith. And now, today, he is one of the great apologetic minds in the Christian community. All of that made possible by people that support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I was looking at some of the encouraging letters that I get before I walked into the studio, one from Peter, who says, "Be encouraged, Hank, because finding your show by accident helped me come to Christ. I served as a pastor for 7 years and recently wrote a discipleship book rooted in apologetics, philosophy, and theology." And there's a really interesting testimony. In fact, I don't know who it's from, but there's a picture of the person that wrote me the testimony. I'm looking at it right now. The testimony is this: "I still remember the announcer's voice. Coming up next hour, the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Honestly, when I first heard those words, I thought to myself, the Bible Answer Man? Oh, this wacko should be entertaining. I remember the first caller, a self-described atheist, whom Hank guided from atheism to agnosticism to interest in Christianity. I changed my work schedule so that I could listen to this show every day. I still remember the strange feeling I had when I actually programmed WAVA into my radio. 6 months later, I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, was reading the Bible daily, and started a Bible study at my workplace. My heart's desire for answers to my many questions has come to me from an unexpected place, the radio dial. I'm now attending Southern Evangelical Seminary and serve as director of couples, small groups, and thank God for Christian radio." So, great testimony. I just found out who this is from. My assistant just showed me. This is from Peter. It's a Twitter testimony, and again, it shows the power of radio and always being ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. Today, I have a special broadcast on tap for you, and it is the result of a conversation that I had with a good friend of mine, John Warren. And John and I attended R.C. Sproul's funeral, and after the funeral, we had a conversation in a restaurant. I think it was called Vines. And in that restaurant, we started talking about the Great Evangelical Recession, the fact that of the 3.7 million evangelicals between 18 and 29, most of them leave the faith, 2.6 million, leave the faith between those age parameters, and the vast majority of them never return. And as I was talking about this, John started talking to me about what's going on in Christian education. And I thought after talking to him, it would be great to do a broadcast with him. Well, he beat me to the punch because he knew about a particular quote and who actually was the person that said this. He said, if we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately. And I couldn't remember who said that. But John told me it was Benjamin Franklin, and I didn't really think it was Benjamin Franklin, but he won the bet. And I said, you know what? As a result of losing that bet, I'm going to give you precisely what you want, and that is a form on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Of course, I wanted it more than he did because he has something very important to tell all of us, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But John is an author. He's a speaker, a very successful banker, a founder of CFS Financial, and he consults with Christian schools, nonprofits throughout the country, and his expertise in debt negotiation and restructuring has earned the applause of Christian schools and ministries. He's a frequent speaker, a consultant in topics ranging from banking, relationship management, to fundraising and marketing for nonprofit organizations. He lives in Central Florida. We spent a lot of time playing golf together over the years. He's got a brilliant daughter named Sarah, who has become a good friend of our families as well. And with that, John, welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you so much, Hank.
You probably think you've been here before because you started listening to the broadcast many years ago.
You know, I've been in this room before, but never in this capacity. And, you know, I think back in to the early 90s and think about driving in my car on I-4 in Orlando, listening to your broadcast, hearing you talk about the essentials of the Christian faith. And I'd never quite heard it put that way. I grew up in a relatively, grew up in the church, but in a relatively shallow environment from a theological standpoint. And I heard you explain some things during those rush hour drives. Interestingly, my wife, who worked at a large hospital, had the same experience. She was listening to you similarly, and we would arrive at home. We never really talked about it. We didn't choreograph it, but we would arrive at home and say, you know, that guy from California said this today, and let's talk about that, and let's look at Scripture and see what really is being said. So this ministry has been such a blessing. It's so good to be here.
And the essence of what we try to do is always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. And more important as we bridge from a post-modern culture to a post-truth culture.
Well, that's exactly right. And as you know, in the work that I do, kind of the front lines for that battle can be Christian education. And no place do I see this more clearly than Christian school failures, which is what we were talking about, among other things, on that day that you referenced moments ago.
So Christian education, very, very important. I have 12 kids, and the education of my kids has been a priority for Kathy and myself. But more and more, if you send kids to educational institutions, so often they get a narrative as opposed to learning how to think critically.
Well, that's exactly right. There's this is sort of endemic in the industry, if I may call it an industry. It goes back kind of to the 1970s model in Christian education, and I want to be clear that Christian education can happen many places through homeschooling, through an actual physical Christian school, or in the home itself. I believe it is often best done when possible as kind of a three-way partnership involving the home, the school, and the church, of course. Yes, I think there is a battle going on. It's a battle of ideas. I think you're absolutely right, and you mentioned those walking away from the faith. I think I see it in Christian education, and this sort of aha moment that we had together was when I mentioned that Christian school failures totaled about 40% over the last 10 years. And so, yes, I think there is a post-modern sort of falling away from even believing that truth is attainable that occurs in the classroom, dare I say, even in some Christian schools.
Your interest in Christian schools. why are you passionate about Christian schools, and why are you talking about what's happening to Christian schools?
It's funny you say that, and I don't know that I've told you this story in the past, but this goes back to I enjoyed a good banking career at a large regional bank, and then transitioned by God's grace to three small banks in succession, where I was able to own a small portion of each bank and serve as either president or CEO. And I remember in my late 40s, I had an experience with stage 3 colon cancer in my early 40s, which we've talked about. In my late 40s, I got the sense that God was calling me, prompting me to do something more significant with the rest of my life, and I wondered what that might be. I didn't really understand that until 6 years ago. I was introduced to a Christian school in Aurora, Illinois, called Aurora Christian School, and they had declined from about 1,000 students to about 700. They had some debt issues. They were very public about those issues, and I was able to help them refinance their debt. They introduced me to friends, other schools in the Midwest, and I found myself at the desk of the president of ACSI, the Association of Christian Schools International, and learned that this is a challenge, that Christian school financial failure is common. And it wasn't until a year later that I sort of connected the dots and realized that this passion for ministry, it's really a passion for the gospel. It's really for a passion for the advancement of God's kingdom. This thing that I wanted to do with the rest of my life, I never thought, frankly, that this banker could make a difference in not just Christian schools, but some ministries and churches along the way, kind of sitting on the other side of the desk. So the passion comes from our Lord's love for us, for me, and this counterintuitive gospel, and the way that I channel that is through this work.
So a lot of Christian organizations are suffering financially. The war generation was a generation of givers. Today you have so many that haven't learned a robust understanding of Christian stewardship on the one hand. On the other hand, Christian organizations don't know how to govern themselves well financially either.
Yeah, you know, there's a tendency on the part of the church not to teach stewardship the way that it is taught biblically. I think that's part of the challenge, to recognize that God owns it all. We often say it's my house, my career, my bank account, even my talent, and that recognition, that the doctrine of giving, of stewardship, says that I recognize that for a very brief period of time I am shepherding these resources. And I think there are heretical teaching that we shy away from, that maybe the prosperity gospel and other errant teaching that makes us afraid of God's real promises in Scripture. And I think the effective organization, the effective Christian organization in terms of financial sustainability, says we're going to espouse truth, and in our fundraising we're going to stay the course. And I believe God blesses all of the tactics and strategies, if I may call them that, around biblical stewardship.
Yeah, and so we have to teach people how to give. And I think it's wonderful that you explained what you explained in the way that you explained it, because there's a sense in which so many people, and I've noticed this in our church, so many people haven't been taught stewardship principles. They don't really know what tithing means, and they certainly don't know what you just described, I guess, under the rubric of Christian stewardship, that God owns everything. We are not owners, we're stewards. We hold everything with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit.
And I don't think we should apologize for teaching those principles. There's a verse in Proverbs that I can't recall at the moment. I would imagine you know the reference, that talks about the giver being blessed and the person who withholds loses wealth. And that we don't that ask, seek, and knock section in Matthew and also in Luke, in the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, are biblical concepts that we need not shy away from. I think this counterintuitive gospel calls us to advance God's kingdom, and I believe it's important that we not shy away from biblical truth across the board.
John Warren, a special guest, will be taking a few of your calls later on in the broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And a special invitation for those who are listening to me right now to join CRI's monthly support team. When you do, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check that out on the web at equip.org. And my gratitude for all of those out there listening to me right now who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back with much more. So please don't touch that dial.
Increasingly, Western culture defines personal freedom as whatever works. The result? People are more anxious, more fearful, and less happy than ever. In his book, Saving Truth, Abdu Murray sounds the alarm at the confusion being embraced and even celebrated around us, and equips followers of Christ to respond in love to people enmeshed in a post-truth mindset while holding steadfast to the essential teachings of the historic Christian faith. To receive your copy of Abdu Murray's book, Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There is a mysterious resonance among the structure of the material world, the abstract world of mathematics, and the human mind. This three-part harmony has major implications for the contemporary debate between naturalism and theism. The sciences alone, however, are insufficient to illuminate this enigma. Other topics include The Handmaid's Tale, Human Dignity and Hope, Slaughterhouse-Five is a Tool for Christian Self-Examination, Redeeming Princess Culture, Five Apologetics Lessons from the Writings of Martin Luther King Jr., and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today at the new discounted rate by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. In his book, Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, Abdul-Murray challenges Christians to consider how we have played a part in fostering a culture of confusion through bad arguments, unwise labeling, and emotional attacks. Followers of Christ must learn to defend the truth with accuracy and precision, and with gentleness and respect. To receive your copy of Abdul-Murray's book, Saving Truth, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. A couple of calls, and then right back to my interview with John Warren. Mike in Buffalo, New York, listening on SiriusXM 131. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Hank. I appreciate everything you do, going back to the book, Christianity in Crisis, which I found to be an invaluable resource. My son had a measure of faith up till about a year or two ago when he was bombarded with the theory of evolution in high school, and he's had trouble ever since. The other day he asked me a question which I really had a little bit of trouble answering, and I'm hoping you can help me. Adam and Eve in the garden, and I guess their moral free agency, and an all-knowing and all-seeing God. He is having trouble figuring all that out, making sense of it, I should say.
Yeah, so the basic idea here is that God creates everyone in such a way that they can choose Him and serve Him or do otherwise. And God does that because that is the only way that love is meaningful. If you don't have volition, then there's no such thing as true love. So love has to be something that is volitional, not something that is coerced. So God created Adam and Eve in such a way that they could respond to His love or reject His love. And as a result of their response, all of us now have a broken gene, a propensity towards sin and evil. But that's the grand metanarrative of Scripture, I should say, is that the beauty is that out of this world of sin and fallenness and brokenness comes the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we're forever able not to sin. And so, you know, God has a redemptive plan, but it takes into account true love and true volition.
All right.
Makes sense to you, Mike?
Because I didn't, you know, I had a little trouble kind of giving him something that he could really chew on. And I'll have to talk to him about that. But I really appreciate your ministry and all that you do. You've been a great help over the years.
Thank you, Mike. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Roy in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, listening on SiriusXM 131. Hi, Roy.
Hank. Hello, Hank.
Hi.
Hi, I've got a question. Yesterday, I was listening to Michael Youssef preach on the radio, and he was talking about merits that we will receive in heaven, you know, that we are saved by faith through grace, not works righteousness. But then he was talking about heaven and five crowns and the work we do, will warrant us certain merits or gifts once we are in heaven. And I didn't understand that because it sounds like something I, again, have to work towards. Can you help me out?
Sure, yeah. And I think the operative passage, you might want to take a look at this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what you see there is there's no foundation other than Jesus Christ. But on that foundation, you can build. You can build using wood, hay, and straw. Or you can use gold, silver, and costly stones. And the day of the Lord will reveal what material you used. If you used inferior materials, the breath of the Lord, you use a metaphor that Paul's using, will consume that material. However, if you use gold, silver, and costly stones, then you will receive reward, says Paul. And you can start at the last chapter of the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, where Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done." And then you can cross-reference through the Bible, even to the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself, who said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but rather store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasures, your heart will be also." Jesus taught the concept of reward. So what Michael Youssef, and by the way, I've spoken in his church, one of the great churches in Atlanta, what he was teaching there is absolutely biblical. In fact, there's a chapter in my book, Afterlife, on degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. So he's absolutely right.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say, though, is it's something I can rejoice in receiving someday, and that if I'm in Christ and trying to live in Christ, I will do those right things. It's not something I have to work towards and worry myself about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we ought to set faith and works in juxtaposition one to the other. I mean, if you are someone who believes in Jesus Christ, puts your trust in Jesus Christ, believes in God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, works are a natural outgrowth of that. And therefore, there's no such thing as a person who has true saving faith that doesn't do good works and doesn't store up for themselves treasures in heaven.
That's exactly what I thought. I appreciate you clarifying that.
You got it. Thank you for your call. I'm talking to John Warren. And John, this is one of those issues, I think, that's part of the problem in Christian education. Oftentimes, we really don't think as much about our paradigms as we think with our paradigms. And so we have these battles that are based on peripheral issues or secondary issues, as opposed to hanging together when it comes to the essentials of Christian faith. And this is one of the things you and I were talking about in that restaurant. If we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately. So we should never minimize the essentials of the Christian faith, but we also should strive for an answer to the Lord's high priestly prayer that we all may be as one.
Well, that's exactly right, and everyone who knows you knows that you didn't just espouse relativism, because you referenced the essentials of the Christian faith. That's absolutely true, and one of the things that I find, and I don't find this, frankly, guys like Barrett Mosbacher and other friends of mine running schools, Rick Kempton and others running schools around the country, find that as they right-size, as they refocus their Bible curriculum, their biblical teaching in their schools, they then have the beginnings of transformative work going on in those schools. So the essentials of the faith are that big narrative that starts in eternity past and goes through eternity future. That biblical narrative is, in fact, the big idea the Christian education, generally speaking, should refocus on, in my opinion.
So what role, in your opinion, does apologetics play in Christian education?
It's a critical role, Hank. We've talked before about William McGuire, who developed an inoculation theory, and I think I've told you, if I haven't, I should tell you on the air, that your ministry meant so much to me back in the 90s, early 90s even, from those days when you were in California, and I mentioned earlier that I would listen to your broadcast while in traffic on I-4 in Orlando. The understanding error, understanding ideas, understanding the concept of, for example, absolute truth, understanding what a Christ-centric worldview is so important. But I think as Christians, we should also understand secularism. We should understand postmodernism. You wrote a book recently on Islam and other worldviews that are errant. We should hold to absolute truth, absolutely. However, we shouldn't be afraid of studying history in the context of even ancient history in the context of the gospel narrative. We in Christian education should not be afraid of understanding evolution. I think it's critical that we understand opposing views. So your ministry meant so much to us back in those years, still does, but during those formative years where we were growing those philosophical and theological taproots, it was so important. So I believe apologetics is a critical element of Christian education, whether it happens in a Christian school, on a radio show, through a radio ministry, or through other methodology.
You have a deep and abiding commitment to Christian education. What is your view of public education? What's its role?
Well, first, you know, I know you have a diverse audience, so I understand, and I interact with public educators from time to time, with charter schools from time to time. I don't take those assignments because I want to advance the gospel and the kingdom of God. But there are good people, there are Christian people engaged in Christian education. The challenge there is the worldview that is being taught, a Christ-centric view of the world, a lens, if you will, by which we see the world, is so critical to impart to young people at an early age and then to reinforce over the years. So I recognize that Christian education isn't for everyone. There are those who can't afford it, those who choose to homeschool, do it other ways. But I think the focal point of Christian education is developing that Christ-centric worldview. We tend to call it, reference it as a Christian worldview. And that shows up in the way we look at life. It starts with this counterintuitive gospel that Paul explains so clearly, and just the concept of justification by faith is something that sounds like a simple concept, but as we live it out as adults in an education setting, as we work through all of the STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, and the humanities, we can clearly see the world through a Christian worldview and impart that to children through Christian education. And that is where this passion comes from for me.
When we come back from the break, I want John to tackle an issue that's very, very significant. And that is the model of education. Is that model a model that's sustainable? Or is that model a model that is broken? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Quote of the day coming up on the other side of the break as well. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your calls answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And I do want to focus for a moment on giving. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. And it's not just that you give to us, but it's also that you pray for us. The biblical paradigm is that where your finances are, there your heart will be also. Jesus made that principle clear in the Sermon on the Mount. So when you give, you also become partners in ministry. Your heart follows your giving, and so you pray for this ministry, and prayer obviously is firing the winning shot. So I'm asking you, as you're listening to the broadcast today, to consider standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also give via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back with more of John Warren and the quote of the day. All of that coming up in just a few moments.
Increasingly, Western culture embraces confusion as a virtue and decries certainty as a sin. Those who are confused about sexuality and identity are viewed as heroes. Those who are confused about morality are progressive pioneers. Conversely, those who express certainty about any of these issues are seen as bigoted and intolerant. In Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, Abdu Murray responds to the confusion by offering gospel clarity that can touch the hearts and minds of those in our post-truth culture. To receive your copy of Saving Truth as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Many feminists see the warped value system portrayed in Hulu's The Handmaid's Tale as a reflection of Christian and social conservative ideologies. In reality, the dominant secular worldview, with its idolization of sexual freedom and rejection of intrinsic human dignity, fosters in the actual world the very oppression seen in the series. Other topics include how the structure and comprehensibility of the universe reveal a mindful maker, five apologetics lessons from the writings of Martin Luther King Jr., kindergartners need apologetics too, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today at the new discounted rate by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
When it comes to sexuality, identity, and morality, feelings and preferences have replaced facts and truth. And post-truth confusion plagues not only the broader culture, but the body of Christ as well. None of us, writes Abdu Murray, will have the credibility to remove the speck of confusion from our neighbor's eye until we've removed the post-truth log from our own. With precision and deep insight, Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World by Abdu Murray will equip you to stand for truth in the midst of chaos. To receive your copy of Saving Truth as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from King Solomon. He is reputed to be the wisest man who ever lived. Unfortunately, the end of his life was not a testimony to the wisdom that God had endued him with. But the quote of the day comes from King Solomon, who said, "Gold there is, and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare and precious jewel." So whenever we can find people who can speak words of knowledge, we gravitate towards those people because knowledge is so critical. Knowledge is a gateway into wisdom and understanding, and how we need that in a post-truth culture. So again, the quote of the day, King Solomon, I think you will find it at Proverbs 20, verse 15. I'm having a very interesting conversation today with a good friend, John Warren. I've always been interested in what he is doing, number one, because he knows what he's talking about, but number two, because he's got this real abiding commitment to Christian education, however that Christian education is communicated, through the church, through parents, through the school, and all three are important. But we live in a culture that no longer is aware that the ethos, the mores, the liberties, jurisprudence, all of that is built on a Christian educational platform. So now we live not in the pages of the Bible, but we live in the shadow of the Bible. We're still impacted by a biblical worldview, but most people are unaware that the privileges that they have in a free society are privileges that come from a Christian worldview. John, you were talking about how the traditional school model is a broken model. And I'm interested in you cashing that out for not only myself, but for our audience.
Well, it's interesting. And the background really is our daughter had, Sarah, who's here with me today, had an interesting experience in third grade at a traditional Christian school, and you know, good people involved, well-intended people, but prompted us to do some reading and studying and looking at other education models. And one of the things that, just to fast forward, she's enjoying success in college, as you know, and one of the things that I have to give my wife credit that she employed was looking at non-traditional ways to deliver education. So when I say that the 1970s model is broken in Christian education, what I'm really talking about is the model that in some cases, not all, was a desire to separate from those who are different from us for various reasons. It felt like a prep school that in some cases charged a fortune, a small fortune, and promised high SAT and ACT scores and promised AP courses and dual enrollment, those kinds of things. And while there's nothing wrong with those things are, there's something wrong with separating from those who differ from us, to be sure. But from high academic standards, from these aspirations for our children, we lose our way in Christian education. And I think that 70s model that relied on an association of parents to sort of hold the school accountable, I think we lose our way when we don't teach Christ in a Christ-centered fashion with a Christian worldview. But I think the way that shows up in the classroom is kind of interesting. Jim and Linda Warner run a school in Orlando called Circle Christian School very effectively. I'm working with a school in Michigan called Washtenaw Christian Academy in Saline, Michigan, and we're employing some of the things that are done in the homeschooling community or done at Circle Christian School or done at other schools around the country that are interesting. Block scheduling, appealing to students on an a la carte basis, actually teaching the depths of scripture and apologetics, similar to other ministries around the country, actually offering flexible classes so that a student can pursue specialized interests, whether they be athletic, whether they be in aeronautics or other elements of engineering. So I think, as we can tend to do in any industry, I came from the banking industry, so I know what this can look like in a kind of a traditional staid environment. We can have this tendency sort of to rely on something that worked 30 or 40 years ago, where now I believe it's time in the industry for a hybrid model, one that employs these best practices, but clearly has as its center its theology and the essentials of the faith.
What's interesting to me is I'm hearing more and more people say that it's not necessarily wise for students to go from high school into college. They're better off not building up this huge, massive debt that people are building up as a result of going to college, but rather working on their motivational skills and developing enterprises around those skills, and that if you're wasting 3 years in college, you could be using those to much greater effect, developing your particular gifts in the workplace.
Well, in fact, as you know, there's a whole cottage industry. Maybe it's not a cottage industry any longer around the concept of a gap year, which is that doing something after high school and before college. I think one of the things that Christian educators around the country are beginning to look at, and I hope this sort of gains some traction, is this matter of thinking that rigor means requiring more credits, more traditional classroom credits for high school students. As you know, that necessarily effort and activity doesn't necessarily imply rigor. Doesn't necessarily correlate to efficacy in the classroom. So this model that I'm referencing, this some call it the university model. I prefer to just call it a hybrid with block scheduling that allows students some time to pursue photography or robotics or foreign language or other interests, even golf in some cases, and other individual and team sports. This model allows the development of the whole person that the traditional model, whereas the traditional model might leave some students behind.
Christian education in trouble, education in general in trouble. People learn narratives as opposed to learning how to think.
Well, that's exactly right. One of the things you'll hear, you'll read it on school websites from time to time, is this development of critical thinking skills and argumentation. And as you know, that starts with logic, it starts with training, it starts with discipline. But it's developed most effectively when we see faith and reason. And you touched on this moments ago. When we see faith and reason working together, we don't see them in opposition. We don't see them as having limited quantities. We see them as being developed, both being developed in a way that isn't mutually exclusive. We see them as working together. Our reason is informed by our faith, is infused with our faith. And that's dramatically different, as you know, from the philosophers of 120, 130 years ago who decided to attack faith and found scientific reasons and scientific methods superior.
Well, one of the quotes that I use in a book called Has God Spoken has to do with revelation and knowledge, which led medieval thinkers to crown theology queen of the sciences. And I've often used this picture of Peter Paul Rubens, which personified this idea very, very eloquently. So it's a 17th century painting. It's called The Triumph of the Eucharist. What you have in that painting is seated in a chariot propelled by angelic beings, theology. Theology was thought to be the queen of the sciences. Then walking alongside her, philosophy, the wise and grizzled veteran, and then science, a newcomer in the cosmic conversation. And all of that is to underscore something that I think you've been driving at. Theology is never absent philosophy and science, but philosophy and science absent revelation leads inexorably to a blind ditch of ignorance.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's one of the reasons that I incorporate a study of the Book of Proverbs in a class I teach on ethics, because wisdom, literature, and scripture is not counter to or even apart from, is not viable apart from the gospel, the beauty of the gospel. So I agree.
It's great about the Book of Proverbs. And I quoted it today, Proverbs 20:15. Every single maxim or principle for successful daily living you find in the Book of Proverbs. I remember teaching a course for secular businessmen, and I did so based on the wisdom and the efficacy of the Book of Proverbs. And people were fascinated by the principles themselves. Where did you get this wisdom? They were very, very surprised when I said the Bible.
And Solomon and friends.
Exactly.
It's interesting to me, though, the study of Proverbs, the Book of Proverbs, in the context of the gospel, is such a valuable study because it points the wisdom in the wisdom literature from Solomon and others in the book of Proverbs points to the cross, as does the entire biblical narrative, as you know.
Thank you, John, so much for joining me on the broadcast. I've been wanting you to have you on the broadcast for a long time. I'm glad you make time to do it.
It has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And thank everyone listening in for their part in making this broadcast a reality. The Ministry of Christian Research Institute, 24/7, reaching people all over the planet. I did a Facebook Live session recently, and we touched every single continent and 20 different countries that I've never even been in. All of this, again, made possible by people who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. And I do want people to gain from what John said, particularly the last thing he was talking about when he was talking about the book of Proverbs. If you're not in the Word of God, get into the Word of God. Get the Word of God into you. And one of the great places to start is with the book of Proverbs. There's no wisdom. There's no understanding. There's no counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. That comes directly from the book of Proverbs. Every enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by staying abreast of the facts. That comes from the book of Proverbs. 31 chapters, so you take one chapter a day and you work through the book of Proverbs every single month, and in the process, you will gain the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that comes from the Lord alone. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go back to answering calls live on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If we didn't get to you today or didn't get a chance to call today, call me tomorrow. I'll be happy to answer your question, 888-ASK-HANK. And again, a shout out to all of those who are out there standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. God bless you now and for all eternity. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World by Abdu Murray. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.